Mr. Curtis, would you please state your full name for the record?
My name is Clinton Eugene Curtis.
And where do you reside?
Tallahassee, Florida.
And what is your profession?
I'm a computer programmer.
Would you please speak into the microphone so the audience can hear your testimony?
I'm a computer programmer.
Mr. Curtis, are there programs that can be used to secretly fix elections?
Yes.
How do you know that to be the case?
Because in October of 2000, I wrote a prototype for President Congressman Tom Feeney at the company I worked for in Oviedo, Florida, that did just that.
And when you say did just that, it would rig an election?
It would flip the vote 51-49 to whoever you wanted it to go to and whichever race you wanted to win.
And would that program that you designed be something that elections officials that might be on county boards of elections could detect?
They'd never see it.
Would you answer that question once again?
They would never see it.
So how would such a program, a secret program that fixes the election, how could it be detected?
You would have to view it either in the source code or you'd have to have a receipt and then count the hard paper against the actual vote total. Other than that, you won't see it.
All right, Mr. Curtis, if you had been asked, you or others with your professional expertise had been asked to design a protective program that would protect the Ohio elections from against such software to fix the election, could you have done so?
If we've been asked to make a program that could fix the election, sure, anybody can do it.
No, could you have designed a program or a procedure or a protocol that would have protected Ohio against this kind of rigging?
No, you have to look at the source code. You have to get probably programmers from both or all parties to look at the source code and determine if there's anything in there that shouldn't be there. I mean, it's a simple program. You're adding one to a person's total. It's 100 lines of code tops.
Are you aware of whether there was any protective action in Ohio against this kind of vote rigging through software?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
You were not asked to assist in the development of any protective system, is that correct?
No, I was not.
Given the availability of such vote rigging software and the testimony that has been given under oath of substantial statistical anomalies and gross differences between exit polling data and the actual tabulated results, do you have an opinion whether or not the Ohio election, presidential election, was hacked?
Yes, I would say it was. I mean, if you have exit polling data that is significantly off from the vote, then it's probably hacked.
And your testimony is under oath?
Yes, sir.
And the testimony you've given is true?
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020. Thank you for joining me today. It's been a minute since we've had a usual Daily Wrap-Up. For those that may be new, don't forget that the reason there's a big gap in the beginning before I get started is because of the way that I'm locked out of certain accounts, including Google and YouTube accounts. And so there's a little bit of different way I have to set these things up. And I want to start right off by saying I apologize to anybody out there that is currently following us on Patreon. I'm hoping that right at this moment that this isn't the moment before Patreon like knocks us off the platform, which is seemingly happening a lot. But I'm currently unable to log into my account on Patreon, and I have the password reset kind of thing happening. That's also what I was doing before I got started. So, but don't worry, for those of you that may be supporting us there, if that is what's happening, there's plenty of different ways that you can continue to support this channel. But just wanted to throw it out there because I haven't been able to post on the Patreon account for the last couple of videos, and I'm not sure why. But today, as you can see in the title, we're going to get into quite a few different things that are very important. And really, this is kind of going to be an overview of some things that I see happening from in regard to the election that Whitney has just absolutely knocked out of the park with her research. And I wanted to show you some of the things that her and I have been batting back and forth this morning. But then I want to focus on some of the things that have gotten that were buried by all of this over the last week. Things that I myself would have normally been covering extensively, and things that you might have already seen as well. But just kind of a, you know, reconnection here. Let's get some daily wrap-up going on and get some more, you know, let you guys see what I'm seeing behind the scenes just in case you're not seeing it. And hope that people out there are really beginning, and as I titled the video today, and I really mean this, you have every single reason, logical and otherwise, to be questioning every single part about what COVID-19 is right now. And that's not my opinion. That's the facts. It's all out there. And if it wasn't about COVID or some political discussion, if this was about any other topic, everybody would be like, well, yeah, obviously. Oh, that's there? Well, yeah, that's questionable, right? Obviously, these things are questionable. Now, the video that I started off with that I wanted, I actually didn't plan to play that much of it in the beginning. Ultimately, the point was to play a clip of it and then play more of it, but I'm not sure if I'm going to go back and play it again now because I got caught up with the Patreon thing in the beginning. And, you know, maybe I'll play it again just really quickly in the beginning so people can see it, but this is a really, really important part of this whole discussion. The idea that this happened in general, and this is just one of probably 15 different things that I've been showing year after year after year that show you that your vote doesn't count anymore. That they have made sure, whether it's with the things that have been there for a while, such as gerrymandering or super PACs or, you know, all these different things that they've added that give them more control over the outcome and the influence of the people involved who have the money, which is what ultimately matters, that there are countless examples of why your vote is simply an illusion, that they give you a process by which to feel like you have some involvement. I mean, we've already talked about the Princeton study that showed very clearly that your vote has a minuscule, near zero, statistically insignificant effect on policy. That's a direct quote from Princeton study about your country, right? About your society, our society, living in the United States. So if they can come to the conclusion that we don't have a democracy, we in fact have an oligarchy, and that our opinion plays a minuscule, near zero, statistically insignificant effect on that policy, then what are we talking about? Sure, that's just one study by a prestigious college, but there's plenty more examples. And this person I showed you in the beginning was a person named Clint Curtis who testified in front of Congress in Ohio that said and told people quite plainly, I was hired to manipulate votes. I did manipulate votes. Here's how it could be done. Here's how it's easy. Here's why nobody would know. And guess what happened, guys? Those same machines were used in the next election. Now, why? How? Any other word you want to throw in there, how is that possible? It's possible in a scenario where the people who are in charge are the ones involved with manipulating you. As it says right here, he's an American attorney, computer programmer, and ex-employee of NASA. He worked, as well as ExxonMobil, but NASA seems very relevant to, you know, just the general opinion of how intelligent people that might work there. He worked for, you know, rocket scientist and all. He worked for Yang Enterprises until February 2001. Now, the timing of when this was happening, I find very relevant. Elections and so on following 9/11. He is notable, before and after, which is the point, because they're talking about testifying and as well as elections that happened after the fact. He is notable chiefly for making a series of whistleblower allegations about his former employer and Republican Congressman Tom Feeney, including an allegation that in 2000, Feeney and Yang Enterprises requested Curtis's assistance in a scheme to steal votes by inserting fraudulent code into touchscreen systems. Now, let's be clear about this. This was very easy to show. This happened. This is the case. Now, why nobody went to prison for that, why we didn't change anything after that, why this didn't have this effect that you might think something like this would have, is the question you should be asking. In 2006, Curtis ran unsuccessfully against Feeney for the United States congressional seat and lost. Gee, I wonder why. Maybe because they're cheating? I mean, you know, this is what happens when somebody who ostensibly, I don't know this person personally, but ostensibly tries to do what, you know, play in the system to try to change for good and you don't win. Bottom line, guys, is that just, I'll just show you the opening clip here real quick again. This happened, and nobody did anything about it.
Mr. Curtis, would you please state your full name for the record?
My name is Clinton Eugene Curtis.
And where do you reside?
Tallahassee, Florida.
And what is your profession?
I'm a computer programmer.
Would you please speak into the microphone so the audience can hear your testimony?
I'm a computer programmer.
Mr. Curtis, are there programs that can be used to secretly fix elections?
Yes.
How do you know that to be the case?
Because in October of 2000, I wrote a prototype for President Congressman Tom Feeney at the company I work for in Oviedo, Florida, that did just that.
And when you say did just that, it would rig an election?
It would flip the vote 51-49 to whoever you wanted it.
Now, you can watch that in its entirety. It's very easy to look up, and I'll include the link itself. And the video is 7 minutes long. I've played it in its entirety on the show before. But think about how incredible that is. Here's just another Wayback Machine, and that's interestingly that it's on the Wayback Machine, because I'm going to make a point about that in a moment, but referencing the same discussion. He tells members how he was hired by Feeney to build a prototype software that would allow them to rig the election. He explains that it would be undetectable. It only takes about 100 lines of code to implement. To watch it and think about where, I mean, think about how crazy that ultimately is and how nothing ultimately changed. Now, again, I feel like I've done this so extensively in the past. The idea is that it comes down to the point that your vote does not have the effect that you think it does. Here is the video that I've played before numerous times. Looks like it's freezing on me for a minute. But the point is that if we know we are existing in a broken system, which by the way, we all see right now. I mean, every single area we're seeing, which we're going to get into next, or after the Wayback Machine point, is that there is all kinds of machines are failing. They're not working. The power is not working. Of course, and there's some that are saying they're being hacked, but there's some of these are just boiling down to incompetence or something else. Everywhere we're seeing this. So we have all these reasons to think that this is potentially the case. Now, this video, as I've shown you many times before,
years, I've had diversity and public support for any given. This is what they found.
Princeton University.
This axis here represents public support for any given idea. On the left, at 0%, are ideas that not a single American wants. On the right, at 100%, are ideas that everyone supports. This axis represents the likelihood of Congress passing a law that reflects any of these ideas, from a 0 to a 100% chance. On this graph, an ideal republic would look like this. If 50% of the public supports an idea, there's a 50% chance of it becoming law. If 80% of us support something, there's an 80% chance. You get the idea.
That's how it should look.
Now, most Americans would probably agree that, with a few exceptions, we should be as close to this ideal as possible.
Well, realistically, not perception. We are being straight up told by people in power that that is what we have, and that what they're doing is constantly defending that reality. But that's plainly and obviously not the case, and even Princeton found that out.
Unfortunately, the way America actually works doesn't even come close. Take an idea that nobody supports, literally nobody, and it has about a 30% chance of becoming federal law. Now, take an incredibly popular idea, the most popular idea this country has ever seen, and there's also about a 30% chance of it becoming law.
I mean, just that in and of itself is outstanding. That no matter how many people support something, it has the exact same likelihood of passing. Now, before you see the next part, you might think, how does that make sense? Well, of course, it's because of the people who have financial ability, the wherewithal to step in here and make that happen, to lobby or otherwise known, or you know, to bribe, otherwise known as lobbying the politicians into doing what they want.
This means that the number of American voters for or against any idea has no impact on the likelihood that Congress will make it law. Put another way, and I'm just going to quote the Princeton study directly here, the preferences of the average American appear to have only a minuscule, near zero, statistically non-significant impact upon public policy.
Excuse me, non-significant. Very clear. Now, there's much more in this video I've played before that gets into whys and hows and how, you know, where your tax dollars go and how it doesn't affect your life and so on. And they've even done a revamp of this video with, I forget her name, from, you know, Katniss Everdeen. I forget her real name. It's so very clear that this is your reality. And yet, we continue to come back and play the game every single time. Now, this is why I want to make this point before we go forward. The idea that we are told that not voting is somehow un-American, except the fact that it's something like I compare it to something like jury nullification. It's something that we don't know about because we're not taught about. And so we don't realize that we have the ability to essentially supersede what the law is in regard to a court of law if we all agree that it's an unjust law or an unjust scenario and so on. That's a very quick, and there's much more to the idea of jury nullification, but the point is, as Americans, we have the right to come to the conclusion that just because it's a law doesn't mean it's right or just or even legal, which may confuse people because things that contradict the Constitution are in fact null and void, according to previous precedents in our country. But at the end of the day, the idea of abstention was it's a quintessential part of American history, going all the way back to the Founding Fathers. As I say right here, the concept of abstention dates back to the Founding Fathers and the creation of this country. An extensive paper written by Grant M. Hayden entitled Abstention, the Unexpected Power of Withholding Your Vote, which I believe I thought I had it up, but I guess not. It's in this link, but I'll include it as well. A great article breaks down the idea and shows how this practice has been used throughout history in just the type of situation Americans currently find themselves. And remember, I'm talking about 2016 when I wrote this. It's way more relevant now. Quote from the article, in some cases, people abstain when they are indifferent among the electoral choices or when they judge the benefits of voting to be outweighed by the costs. Yes, meaning that you have a foundational, quintessentially American right to abstain out of protest. But ask yourself, how come that's not an option on the ballot? Well, because they don't want you to realize you have that choice. Because you should be able to actually mark down on the ballot that you're not voting because you disagree with the entire premise of the vote, or the fact that you feel that the system is, there's any number of reasons, that you're out of protest. You see, because we have no option now other than to just not take part, because there's no legitimate official option to put that down. And yes, you can write on there somehow. But of course, these don't get counted. Those don't get shown on the news when they tally everything up. And there's a reason for that. Let me say again, to abstain for any reason from a vote of any kind is quintessentially American, literally the opposite of un-American. And now when we find ourselves in a system, as we're talking about, that has a minuscule, near zero, statistically non-significant effect on the outcome of that vote, well, then you should be abstaining out of protest to say, look, I'm not actually being listened to. So why would I continue to make my vote to make it seem as if I'm consenting when they don't even care what I'm writing down? He says, the underlying assumption is that abstention, unlike voting, is neutral with respect to the outcome. But while the contours of the right to vote have been the subject of a tremendous amount of scholarship across many disciplines, abstention, despite its obvious connection to the right to vote, has been almost completely ignored. Why? Why do places like Australia fine you if you don't actually vote in the participation and then call that democracy and pretend it's your right even though they make you do it? It's because they want the illusion of a representative government. That's what all of these groups are doing. Abstaining from a presidential election, or any for that matter, is your right for now, despite the clear effort. I hate when I find my own typos. Despite the clear effort to make it seem somehow un-American, when in reality, it is a quintessential part of American history. Now, I wrote a lot about this in here and quoted a lot from these articles. There's a lot of information in here, such as what can you do instead, right? Make sure we understand that not voting does not mean you are not politically active. If anyone's honest with themselves, simply checking a box every 4 years is about the least politically active thing you can possibly do. But they pretend it's the opposite way, right? So you can get involved at the local or state level, which is, if you really feel like you're going to make a difference in any sense in regard to voting or that kind of action, that would be what you should start with. The presidential election is about the least, in a system where you have no influence, you've got the least amount of influence at the top. Practice agorism by operating outside the system, which is what I'm trying to get people to recognize. Because as long as you participate and give consent, whether for Trump or Biden or any other part of the broken system, you are continuing to allow it to go forward. Speak out and spread knowledge. Very important. Of course, since YouTube has deleted us off their platform, these videos can't be seen. I still need to go back, and you can watch it right here, by the way, but I still need to go back and add all of these back in, which is going to take me forever, but I'm waiting till after the election. But I hope you will think about this and realize that this is just one example. And at the end of the day, you should be standing up and saying, I'm not going to participate. Hashtag vote no one 2020. Because at the end, and the problem is that people come, they get this thought, circle of thought where they go, well, then you're going to allow everyone else to vote and choose for you. But did you miss what I just explained? They're not influencing it either, because none of us are. That's what you need to realize. It's so clear. They act like it's un-American to point that obvious reality out, despite all of the evidence and people like Clint testifying and showing us that everyone from every angle and all sides and all parties are constantly trying to lie and cheat and steal from you. That's what the reality is. So when we say don't vote because it doesn't make a difference, and then you respond by saying, well, you're going to let them choose your president, you're not listening. Now, I'm not saying I know for a matter of fact that I'm right. I'm asking you to research and do your own due diligence. But to just continue to ask like the right answer is just to do what you've always done, then again, I think you're literally not paying attention. Because what has that done for us so far? Trump had 4 years. And if your argument is, well, that's because the other side wouldn't let him do what he wanted to do, well, doesn't that then easily show you the system is broken? Yes, it does. Even if you disagree with the idea that I think they're both on the same side, what you just said, or I said you said, very clearly shows you the system doesn't work. There are people right now that'll scream to the end of their life that Obama would have changed everything if only the other side would have let him, despite how ridiculous that is when you really look at the information. And they'll say the same thing about Trump. Now, Disclose also pointed out breaking YouTube rigging the video machine. Just, I think they're just being funny by the way they say that. Lots of people reporting they can't upload or edit videos. I thought Tim Pool tweet something, and I saw Titus respond saying, hey, it's been broken for years. Thank glad you finally realized, right? And I agree with that. It's funny how some of these people are now going, oh, look, it's not working. It's clear that this has been a broken entity. Hashtag boycott YouTube forever. And again, I reiterate for those that may not know, the only reason this is even still streaming on YouTube from this channel is because Restream.io still has a back-end connection to my backup channel. Until they delete that, I guess it's still going to happen. I can't even log into my accounts. I can't comment. As I've shown many times before, it just gives me a message. I mean, I could just show you right now. It's very strange, actually. And I've been showing people this for a while, that it says unable to access Google product. And it says very clearly that they have the ability to suspend you from the entire Google account system. Clearly, that's what's happening to me. So it's just interesting that it's still going. But the point being that we shouldn't be on there. And if you're on here now, if you're watching right now on YouTube, go to DLive. Go to any other platform, as well as some of the new ones that I'm going to be streaming more to in the future. But as it says, they rigged this, and they can't, now people can't get their videos up during the election. And the point that I made is that, guys, they literally said they were going to do this. They straight up said, we are going to censor things on during the election. We shouldn't be surprised about this at all. It's not a secret. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's what they told you they would do. And I also want to point out, while we're talking about YouTube, the interesting thing that somebody caught on their images. I told you the other day, I'm not sure why this is the case. My app on my phone still had the connection as well to showing how my videos were being stored. They said they deleted my entire channel. So how come one of these videos says that it's on private and unavailable? I'm sure I'm not the only one this is happening to, but it's odd that YouTube is holding on to our content despite saying that they've removed it. Now realize that that's not something you would do, because that storage costs money. So why are they holding on to this content? It's an interesting question to ask. It's not what you would do if you're deleting somebody for fake news. Now, I also want to point out that Dr. McCullough had a great discussion with Whitney Webb and been sharing a lot of our work on TLAV. And I tried to share one of these articles called How COVID-19 Vaccine Trials Are Rigged. And this is actually a great article that he references my video that I did. Specifically a daily wrap-up where we talk about, I forget where it's in there, but where we talk about exactly that, the fact that they're rigged to succeed, as even Forbes wrote. Right, that they have, and the less than 100 people that they're even using for these trials, when it should be 30 to 60,000. It's crazy. But I tried to post that link, and look what it says. Oh, guess something went wrong. Don't worry. Don't fret. Here it says at the bottom, as you can see, we can't complete this request because the link's been identified by Twitter or our partners as being potentially harmful. Potentially harmful. Yeah, that's called censorship, guys. That's not what platforms do. That is what publishers do, and they are straight up doing it right in front of you because the election, because COVID-19 or whatever, which I found really crazy. And I just said more blatant Twitter censorship, since they literally won't allow you to post that link.
And I did it with a space so you could still find it. It's incredible to me. But I also wanted to add the interesting part, and this is the article, an interesting, this is the one we're talking about, how COVID-19 vaccines or trials are rigged. He also had another great article called, Did You Know That Bill Gates is Part of the Stimulus Negotiations? I bet most people didn't know that. You mean Bill Gates, who's not a politician, not a scientist, not a doctor, and yet he's playing a role in deciding how much money comes out of your pocket to go to businesses? Yeah, guys, realize how far off the rails that we are right now, and that nobody cares what you think. It says, the U.S. Congress debates a second but stalled stimulus bill to help Americans hurt by the pandemic shutdowns, not COVID-19, by the government actions. One odd figure is playing a role in the negotiations, none other than Microsoft billionaire Bill Gates. If it makes you wonder why this is who's not an elected official would have anything to do with the stimulus, you're probably not alone. But he is. And he told Andy Serwer of Yahoo Finance All Market Summit virtual event that he is working to get billions of dollars added into the stimulus package to give to Gavi. Right? The same thing that Trump is supporting and the USAID is supporting. Two separate things. And that money is then going to Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation as well as to the World Health Organization. Still, right now. I find that incredible. But the point was, I tried to save this article since, you know, it was being censored. And even the Wayback Machine says, sorry, this URL has been excluded. So now even the Wayback Archive Machine is choosing what they allow to be archived. That is incredible. Nothing is beyond being politicized, guys. They're going right into the archives even. So let me ask you this, or let me pose this idea. If they're not allowing certain links to go in, I guess we can assume that they're also probably cultivating and manipulating what's already been archived. Because it's simply being justified by, you know, that's dangerous information that we don't allow. So are we going to pretend like they're going to allow the ones that are already there that they also think are dangerous? No, that will be removed. This is what they're showing you. And I even just picked another random link from his website. Same thing. So it wasn't the article. Him, Dr. Mercola, has been deemed dangerous by even the Wayback Machine, or more specifically, whoever is pulling its strings. How incredible is that? Here's Internet Archive saying, in addition to that, new fact-checking and context banners, now even on Wayback Machine pages. So they're inserting their opinions even on things that you save for your own personal use. That should scare the hell out of you. Our goal is to preserve the web as it was published. Well, obviously not. Because you're at, well, I mean, this, I shouldn't speak to what the Internet Archive is saying, but they're saying, in addition, fact checkers and context about the original web page are important for data and their users. Just crazy to me. Now, this is a different version. We're not talking specifically about the Wayback Machine. Oh, I guess we are as well. So it's just archives in general are adding these things. The web page has been fact checked by PolitiFact. That is unnerving to realize that even on archives, this is happening, ladies and gentlemen. So think about that censorship and the manipulation and how aggressive it's become and how completely wildly unjustified and unconstitutional it has become. Justified because fear, because things that we tell you are happening that we can't verify. Well, let's roll into what we've been telling you was going to happen, and we are literally seeing play out right in front of us. This says, happening now. Oh, they deleted it. Of course, dang it. And then I just lost it. Oh, there, still there. Okay, so I don't understand why they would delete this. That's really interesting. Clearly, there's going to be a lot of weird stuff happening today, guys. So look, it's gone. That's strange. That even changed my... Look at that. Why did it do... Look, there's something really strange going on, guys. Remember that Twitter said that they were going to be manipulating stuff? They openly said they were going to be using things that they used in Myanmar, in Sri Lanka, in regard to, you know, unrest, and they're going to use this today. They stated this. So look, let's be clear that even that H wasn't there. Isn't that weird? So Twitter seemingly has the ability to even insert things in your tweets that weren't there beforehand. Am I crazy? Pretty interesting. Nonetheless, the tweet says, happening now, Spalding County, Georgia, experiencing glitch, bringing down voting machines countywide. Now, that's just one example, whether they deleted it because it turned out to be wrong or so on. It's everywhere it's happening right now. And look at how quick they're jumping these things out. And I said, I'm sure those Vault 7 acquired Iranian cyber fingerprints will be very compelling. Remember, we talked about that in Vault 7, they discussed the idea that the U.S. government has the ability to basically commit a cyber attack and then insert things that they would call cyber fingerprints that would point the direction at Iran or China or Russia. But let's pretend like that doesn't exist as we're literally watching these things play out. I find that to be very strange that it's no longer there. Here's another one. Voting machines in New York City, polling place broken and completely locked. Uh-oh. This is after opening 30 minutes late. Don't worry, they say. You can just leave your ballot with us and we'll scan it for you later. Does that sound great, guys? Just completely this is not Iran doing it. It's not China doing it. It's our completely broken and incompetent system from government down to the people at the polling stations. Now, on top of that, a woman was recently just hit and killed near a polling station. Now, as I said, exactly like, I don't know, Cyber Reason and other simulations predicted would happen. Right on course with their agenda. What a shock. Now, any number of these things could be happening out of organic choices, but it's kind of hard to not. And this all happened before 10 a.m. New info. Supervisor tells me their poll pads are down statewide. It's an electronic system for registered voters to check in. All this stuff's happening simultaneously at different states, right? Now, of course, they're going to say, oh, it's because Iran bad guy, China bad guy, Russia bad guy. Well, we need to absolutely demand unequivocal proof of anything that they say, because they have been seeding this and floating this since 2016. Now ask yourself, what in the world would benefit these foreign countries from doing this and doing it in a way that gets them blamed? Now, a lot of these, Iran specifically already spoke out and said, look, we don't care who gets elected. Our policies will be the same regardless of what president gets put in place. Of course, they could be lying about that, but realize that there's no reason to think what the U.S. government and their intelligence communities, who have lied to you about damn near everything they've ever said, there's no reason that they've shown you why this is happening. They just say that it's happening because bad guy, because they hate us, because they don't like your freedom. Yeah, that worked well in the past, right? Developing. This is really odd. Deputy U.S. Marshals stand ready to respond to violent acts of civil disobedience. I don't think they understand what civil means, right? The idea that civil disobedience is implicit, it implies not violent. The idea, so what they're literally trying to do here is trying to suddenly turn any act of civil disobedience, of peaceful resistance, into a potentially violent act, or even just conflate them. So now when people are out protesting, well, suddenly that just becomes a violent act in and of itself. That's what this is becoming. And now these are outstanding ready to respond to them, right? At what point in history did simply the potential for protesting become the readiness for violence, right? You have a right enshrined in the Constitution to protest. But now when you do so, they surround you with police and act like you're on the edge of boiling over, which sure, some people are violent, and that's why those people should be arrested. But the idea that one person breaks a window and they tear gas 30,000 people, well, yeah, that doesn't make sense. But see, this is how it's all building. This is how they want it to go. As Sarah Fisher points out from Axios, if news organizations, and a lot of these, by the way, I think easily half of these were shared by Whitney, if news organizations declare Joe Biden the mathematical elect president-elect, so that what she's saying is if the news decides to do their own math, you know, sort of like they did with Clinton, who they said was going to win hands down, remember how that worked out? Well, if they do it again and decide mathematically that Biden wins, well, they already plan to address, Biden plans to address the nation as the new leader. Even if Trump continues to fight in court. So if they announce, because they've done their math beforehand, that he won, he'll announce he won. Isn't that exactly what they keep saying Trump is going to do? And by the way, this is both sides. I think both of them are equally guilty of this. But what's funny is in this narrative, of course, people that are stuck in the two-party paradigm, it is simply that Trump will never leave and the left is going to, you know, revolt because they won't, because he's cheating. But of course, it applies exactly the same in the other way around. In the Transition Integrity Project, they straight up stated verbatim that they were going to do whatever they could. If he lost, they were still going to stay and fight and try to push Trump out because that's the moral thing to do. Right? So it's foreign policy in regard to a two-party system. Just like this country conducts foreign policy, Biden's acting like their team is right. They're the good guy. So it doesn't matter if they break the rules because the bad guy has to go. Does that not sound like every ridiculous boiled down reduction of our foreign policy you've ever heard? That, yeah, it's okay that we're murdering people. It's because we're the good guy, though. It's okay that we're stealing their oil because we're the good guy, though. It's okay that we violate UN treaties and different resolutions and literally everything we've ever honored. Yeah, because, I shouldn't say literally, but yeah, because we're the good guy, so it totally makes sense. Well, you can see how this will play out. Anybody announces ahead of time, it's going to be chaos, and that's exactly the point. Trump calls Supreme Court ruling allowing Pennsylvania ballot count past Tuesday very dangerous. Tuesday. That is very dangerous. We're talking about allowing the vote to just kind of linger on past the election and allowing these votes to be tallied after the fact. That's coming from a court ruling. And simply saying it's very dangerous then gets translated into Trump as saying he's going to attack people. That's literally what the CNN's already done more than once. Because that's called guessing, CNN. Great journalism. Now, sure, of course, he could mean that. But it's really dumb to just say he means that based on saying something that anybody could agree with. Allowing that to happen is dangerous because it's going to cause exactly what we're seeing. 100%. National Guard troops arrive in multiple cities ahead of election night chaos, and this is going to be a problem because, I mean, this is martial law, guys. We're in martial law. I've been saying this, we've been in martial law since COVID-19 began. But now because people might be chaotic based on the fact that the media has been hyping that. Now, I understand that I'm seeing plenty of examples of both, you know, Zoom chats. I saw Millie Weaver put something out of Democrats saying they're going to create this action and it's going to be called a coup. And sure, by the way, we shouldn't be so, why don't we ask the question if that itself is a ploy by maybe the Trump side in order to make that seem the case? And the same thing on the other side. But we don't ever do that. When it says what you think you want to hear, it's proof and it's all of us, it's everything, right? But I don't think that's what's happening. I think it is a real video. I think it's clear that you have Democrats who are openly saying we are going to not take this if he wins. But by the way, I guess she forgot to include in that video the examples of the right doing the exact same thing. I could show you 1,000 posts right now, people, very high people in the social media influencers and blue checks who are basically suggesting that they are going, I mean, that if he wins, it's because he cheated and we can't allow that. It's the same thing. But anyone who's lost in the two-party illusion can't stand to allow the truth to slip out when it makes their own side look bad. But yes, it's very clearly happening, and both sides have been radicalized and pushed out there by their own people. Nobody's going to accept a win or a win that they don't agree with. We've already seen every possible example coming out showing you that, look, they're cheating here. Look, they're cheating there. I just showed you a bunch of these examples of machines and issues and voting counts later. It just doesn't make any sense. But adding a bunch of military to the mix is only going to guarantee that it gets worse. Of course, we already added that we have FBI. Oh, of course. Hold on. I have to close this one now. We actually had a very unfortunate... Thanks, mainstream media, for always popping up, because you guys are just the best. But the point is, we have FBI undercover inside of a lot of these militia groups that they've already told us they have, right? We also have plainclothes National Guard that are supposed to be, quote, helping with the polls, because that's totally innocent. No, that's called undercover military. And so now we've got undercover people on both sides that are working for the government. Ask yourself if you'll ever know how it started. Right? Oh, it started and now we're in chaos. But do we ever get to find out whether it was the FBI who didn't know the National Guard guy was on the other side, or the National Guard guy who didn't know the FBI was on the other side, and they both are trying to incite violence and they both fight each other and suddenly it all pops off? Yeah, it could easily work like that and has a lot in the past. Philly GOP. Voting machines down in Westmoreland and Philadelphia counties. Philadelphia. Weird. They couldn't even wait till noon to kick this off. Opposite sides of the state, both pro-Trump strongholds. Breaking. They are claiming voter machines are down in Precinct 4, Washington, Michigan, having people just put in ballots, claiming the machine has power issues. So what happens to the ballots that were in there? Are they going to get counted? I mean, this is absolutely chaotic, and it's already happening. Now, here he is calling for poll watchers, right? Now, let's pretend this is not a new thing. They're trying to make it seem as if every single Trump supporter who does this is going to be some armed militia, and that's just ignorant. That is the most ridiculous thing. I mean, they know that they're being ridiculous because they want to fight for their truth, if that's what they really believe, but or lie for their truth. They know that that's not the case, just like they know that, I mean, it's every example we're seeing. It's polarized on both sides. right? All Trump supporters are Nazis and all people on the left are socialists. And none of that's true. That is dumb. There's nuance and there's difference of opinions in every spectrum across the way. Getting reports of multiple robocalls, and this is something Cyber Reason also called, to Flint residents that due to long lines, they should vote tomorrow. Obviously, this is false. Now, of course, they're going to try to blame this on foreign entities, but this sounds like exactly what some kind of Republican or Democrat ploy would be to try to win the election. Constantly. Obviously, it's false. It's an effort to suppress the vote. No long lines today. It's just ridiculous. In addition to that, Republicans in swing states of Pennsylvania have reported numerous cases of potential voter fraud in Philadelphia. As I said, Pennsylvania, who could have guessed? And of course, I link to our election special where we literally say that they're planning chaos in Philadelphia. Now, I also have all these down here for you guys to see, Election Special 1, 2, and 3 with Whitney Webb, where we go over a lot of information. Very important stuff. Finally, just to tie this over, I've got two things kind of pulling us over into COVID. Now, I have about 20 minutes to get the rest of this stuff done. So if I don't get any done, all of it done, I'll just roll it over until the next day. But a historian at Princeton University and, of course, a CNN political analyst, which is the only thing that people remember that you worked for such a fake outlet. Quote, when you see something that is not right. And he's quoting, you know, the late Saint Congressman John Lewis, right? This was saying the same reason that, you know, McCain became a saint the moment that they die and not some, you know, bitter, clearly social justice pushing person that has expressed openly racist sentiments about white people. Yeah, you know, but he's a saint now, right? But it's far, and there's probably way, whether or not there is a lot more things we could dive into, but something like McCain and on, these people are always back. Oh, they're saints now because they passed away. No, most of these people are really bad people that have done really bad things for their political careers and for the even more sinister ongoing agenda. But he says, when you see something that is not right, not just, not fair, you have a moral obligation to, oh, wait a minute, he didn't say do so, just say something, do something. Our children and their children will ask us, what did you do? What did you say? You realize what this boils down to is see something, say something. So he basically bastardized what I would argue is a classic quote from, I believe it was MLK, that you have a moral obligation to disobey an unjust law. See how he kind of tweaked and bastardized that into do what your government says, when that's the opposite of what that was actually saying? Yes, I do see that. And it's insulting to everybody who understands what that was really saying. He's turning it into tell on your neighbor, when in the reality it was, oh, disobey if you're being told to do something that you know is wrong. And I said, oh, you mean like unjust, unconstitutional and unjust lockdowns? Or unconstitutional and unjust mask mandates? Or the ongoing illegal occupation of Palestine, maybe? Oh, I see. You meant like tattling on people for not wearing masks. Or more specifically, I think he meant, or political rivals for entirely constitutional protected actions. Cool. So what he's literally doing is saying, hey, if you see people out these polls that look like Trump supporters, you know, tell on them because we know they're militias that are going to hurt people. That's what this is. That's what all of these people are doing. And it's gross that they're trying to change and bastardize things that are enshrined in the Constitution just because they don't like people on the other side. That makes you a petty, petty, petty person. Now, at the end of the day, this is one of the biggest things that stood out to me as one of the obvious absurdities going on in regard to the election. And this pulls us right into the discussion of COVID-19. Coronavirus updates. CDC says people who test positive for the virus can still vote in person. What? Yeah, don't think into it because, you know, there's really no logic to this. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said people who are in isolation after testing positive can still cast ballots in person. And you realize that they're actually saying if you aren't sick, you can't do it. They're saying we won't let you sneak in if you come in when you're not sick. Why would you do this that way? If you were actually trying to stop this from spreading, if it's really even there, we're talking, wouldn't you say, well, if you're sick, you can do mail-in ballots. And if you're not sick, you can also do mail-in ballots. But if you're not sick, you could vote too. If you want to go in and vote in person, you can because you're not sick. So now they're telling you that as a not sick person who has not been tested positive, who is just a normal person with no impediments at all, you are not allowed to go out and vote. So now they're locking you down even if you haven't had a test, which is what's been going on up until now anyway. But also think about if they're sending out a bunch of sick people to go vote, so we're being told, is that not a guarantee that you're going to be spreading this around? So another action that adds on to the long list of actions that led to more problems, like every single other thing they've done in this whole COVID-19 thing. Every action they've taken has led to more sickness, more illness, more effort, more economic downturn, everything. They have led to every action, whether they want to be incompetent or a mistake or a willful intent to create more problems. They all led in this direction, such as something like this that is dumb and doesn't make any sense. Sure, let them all go out and get, if they're sick, they can go out. But if you're not, you can't. Don't even try. It doesn't make sense. Now, I've included a link to my interview with Dr. Sterling Simpson, who clearly is somebody who cares about you. Somebody who puts your interests and your life first. You know what a real doctor should do. Pulmonary specialist speaks out on the health risks of wearing masks and the lies surrounding COVID-19. I recommend you check this out because he's got a lot of very interesting things to say. But I just want to point it out as we've got more experts continuing to say, don't do that because it's dangerous. Here is the Independent saying, not wearing a mask is linked to personality disorders. So again, this is the fourth time I've seen mainstream media try to say, oh, but you're crazy if you don't wear a mask. Not just that you don't want to do it because it violates your rights or because it makes you sick or because you shouldn't have to do anything. I mean, there's 1,000 reasons we've gone over, including the fact that it doesn't actually have the effect that they say it does, as every study before this and every random controlled trial has said, not statistically significant reduction in transmission. Well, they're just going, no, you're just crazy. You've got a personality disorder. You're a sociopath, I've even seen them say. That's no joke. That's what they're being told today. Unbelievable. And in the meantime, while they're actually reporting this stuff to you, they're saying, oh yeah, you're still in danger and we're going to lock down again, but I'm going to do it in a clown mask because we really care about you. This is not a joke. This is Oregon's Public Health Authority announcing the people who died in clown makeup.
There have been 38,160 cases of COVID-19 in Oregon, with 390 new cases being reported today.
That's real. No one tries to explain this. No one says, hey, I mean, this isn't even the first time. Here is, I believe, the mayor of Baltimore. I believe that's right. Dressing up as Clorox and Germex in capes. Here's an example. I believe this was in, now I'm blanking. Is Costa Rica maybe? Dressing up as a clown while they're announcing people dying? I mean, are they literally trying to associate that with positivity? I mean, what is it they're trying to do? Maybe it's the fact they're trying to hide how all of this is continuing to come out, such as the fact that current hospital capacity estimates, you know, the thing they keep telling us is increasing, was completely put on pause. That's not a joke. This file will not be updated after July 14th. So since July, they've just stopped updating the numbers about hospitals being overwhelmed. Can you explain that? It says it multiple times. So if they stopped updating it and now they're continuing to report that hospitals are overrun because they claim they were in July, sort of like when they say that, there's only been 10,000 deaths in Yemen because they just never reported extra deaths after a certain point and they just kept repeating the number they were told months ago, pretending like that makes any sense at all. Instead of going, no, we don't have accurate numbers. They keep lying to you and saying, oh, it's only 10,000. Oh, turns out it was actually more like 500,000, but who cares? We didn't, no official source told us, so we're going to keep saying 10,000. That's what this is. July 14th was the last time they updated the information about the hospitals being overrun. So ask yourself why we keep getting told that the hospitals are continuing to be overrun. And why would they stop covering the information? Sort of like why would they stop reporting on flu in the middle of this situation right after they tell you, oh, you know, it's all about the twindemic. Both of them are going to be combining. Well, here's Donald Trump telling you, understanding this information, right? This is not what we're being told, that they're hiding information. And this is coming from groups that are currently working within the Trump administration. Well, Trump says this election is a choice between a Trump super boom, which odd choice of words. Obviously, he wants to imply the economy, but a super boom seems a little interesting. Brings to mind a bombing or an EMP, maybe, or a Biden depression. And it's between a safe vaccine or a devastating Biden lockdown. So now you see, he's even telling you that's your choice now. I thought it was all a secret wink, wink, 4D chess move about the vaccine, that it was end up being Regeneron or something else, because now that's apparently a vaccine as the supporters are trying to push. Or the fact that, you know, ignoring the idea that therapeutic could mean a vaccine or could mean bioelectric implants because that's what they're listed as. But no, we don't want to talk about those things. Here's Trump telling you that your choice is between the vaccine and a lockdown. That doesn't seem to make sense to me. I said, well, that's pretty clear. Looks like the vaccine's coming either way we go. Every Trump supporter I spoke 2 months ago about Trump supporting the vaccine said that will never happen. I didn't ask about what kind or how or whether it be forced. All I said was, will he support it? That will never happen. I repeatedly was told by numerous people. Well, here we are. Just because it's not mandatory doesn't change the fact that you were saying it wouldn't happen and now we're here. So first, before we say, well, he's not going to be mandatory, explain why he did that when you said it would never happen. You don't just get to say 4D chess move or enemies closer or whatever you want to do. The bottom line is it's happening and we're not stopping it because people are convinced that somebody's on your side. None of them are on your side. But it's not mandatory, they're now saying, but not understanding societal economic exclusion, which is what I keep saying. No, every time you add that point and say, well, what happens when this happens? They never respond. Here's one of them and says he's definitely the lesser of two evils. Well, cool. So we're going to vote for evil then? Good times. If Biden wins, then it's just game over. Of course, I guess that's obviously an assumption, but you see the certainty with which it's stated. With Trump, there's at least a chance of him delaying a process of what? So you're okay with either choice, which is leading you into the bad. I mean, this is incredible to me that this is the kind of mentality. Remember, we just talked about in regard to voting and how it doesn't actually affect anything. And abstention out of protest is literally a viable option that we should all start doing to show them that we're not changing anything. And when they put in the person which they were already going to put in place, we can then point to the fact that very few people actually participated. Realize, again, you're not letting them pick your president for you. They were doing that anyway. That's the point. If your vote doesn't have an effect on it, as Princeton showed you, well, it's not that you're allowing other people to vote and pick him. Nobody is. They are. That's the point. So either of you, when you vote for them, you're saying, oh, well, that guy's a little less evil, then you're voting for evil. Nevertheless, the lesser of two evils is still evil, and it really doesn't matter in the end. So thank you for adding that, Plato. Most people don't even do that. But I wanted to give that credit where it's due because he is realizing in the process of the statement that, yeah, well, I guess it just doesn't matter. So I hope the outcome would be not participating. But what's interesting is you can see in this discussion that there's a lot of points in here where people, I'm probably just going to actually go forward now. I had it right here, for instance, you know, and I said, well, I couldn't agree more with somebody saying that, well, people who have ability to think wouldn't get it. And I said, but what happens when you can't fly a plane or cross the border or go to a grocery store, right? With your vaccine card, which they're already doing. It's already in the works in regard to Operation Warp Speed and planes and so on. Well, what do you do then? Well, there's no response, right? Because they don't want to admit that that's coming because that will never happen. I'm getting now again. But when it does end up happening and the excuse is now because of some other thing, it doesn't change the fact that we're there and it's happening. That's what I'm keen trying to wake these people up to see. That step by step, the boiling frog goes forward because they have chosen to trust a politician. But he's not a politician, they say. Well, clearly he is. He's in the position. He's a politician. And the way that he's operating makes that even more clear. Well, here's another example of that. Well, here's Dr. Birx. Yeah, the person who's in Trump's task force for COVID-19 on his administration. Yeah, she's saying mandatory COVID testing and sentinel surveillance. Don't you love the surveillance aspect of this? This is continuing. They're telling you this is going to happen. And we're quibbling about politics. German COVID-19 lab tests produce a slew of false positives. I mean, it's everywhere. The idea that this is even happening should make you stand up and shout. It's incredible. Now, on that note, in case I'm going to miss it, I wanted to make sure I included, I'll just fly through it. There's another thing about the PCR test that I have to say before I go. CDC reveals hospital counted heart attacks as COVID-19 deaths, right? It's incredible. Here it is right here. Shared by Dr. Q, or rather Sterling Simpson, who I just had an interview with. He's the pulmonary specialist. Here is Dr. Fauci. It says, this is important. PCR amplification is almost always 35 to 40, which I've already reported to you. The threshold, the cycle threshold, 35 to 40, a random criteria that's chosen. Why? Well, they don't really tell you. Fauci himself in this clip is saying that, quote, positives in this range are garbage, which, by the way, is what everybody is doing. Take a listen.
Evolving into a bit of a standard that if you get a cycle threshold of 35 or more, that the chances of it being replication competent are minuscule. Mm. So that if somebody, and you know, we have patients, and it's very frustrating for the patients as well as for the physicians. Somebody comes in and they repeat their PCR and it's like 37 cycle threshold. But you almost never can culture virus from a 37 threshold cycle. So I think if somebody does come in with 37, 38, even 36, you got to say, you know, it's just halving.
So that is very, very clear. Okay. Understand what you're hearing there. The reality that he is straight up telling you that the threshold that they are currently using, which is generally 35 to 40, almost entirely across the board, is minuscule that you have a chance of actually achieving what they say that they're achieving. That is from Dr. Fauci. And yet that's still happening. And they're still using PCR tests right now, just like the New York Times said, with upwards of 90% false positives because of the threshold they're choosing. Let's pretend like that's not intentional. Here's another one of PCR tests, which I'll include, that shows him going over each one of these masks and how the masks don't actually work the way that we're told. I have that included as well. Now I'm going to have to let you guys go because of a lack of time, but I'll save these for the rest of, for the next point, where we're talking about the reality of the deaths of, say, 3,000 cancer deaths that are, or at the end of the day, that we have 36% deaths from something other than COVID inside this tally that no one's addressing. The fact that the lockdowns are causing this, or the reality that we can clearly see the difference of people that are not going along with the game plan, or the fact that they're showing, oh my gosh, look at all the missing deaths we're not seeing. The one thing that they won't acknowledge is the thing I keep showing you, that ask yourself why every single one of these lockdowns, which all happened at the same time frame, about March-ish, then we had the deaths. Not before. We have the lockdowns, and then you saw a corresponding death increase, and then when the lockdowns continued to go down, so too did the death count. Every single time. But all they want to tell you is, oh, we can't see it all because you're in more danger than you realize. As I said, anyone else notice that the death spikes all correspond with lockdowns being implemented? Yep, you're crazy. Be quiet, Ryan. Or the fact that the lockdown is where all the deaths occurred in general? Yeah, that's important too. Or it says the 5 year previous to this have all looked similar until 2020, showing you that the numbers are not adding up. Now, these are all being here for you to check out for yourself. It's very important stuff. And as I said before, they keep telling you the twindemic is coming. It's California's first simultaneous flu and COVID-19 infection. That was proven by what? Oh, yeah, PCR test. Cool. And as you continue to tell yourself that it'll only be Biden that does these things, well, here's the top Trump health official who's telling you right now that draconian measures are coming if America doesn't start wearing their masks. That's Trump's official. But sure, let's pretend like it's only Biden. Now, one of these things I keep planning to get into, and I'm going to have to cut this short, guys, is the fact that chronic effects are there, that they're telling you that because COVID-19 that you have chronic cognitive issues. Now, realize people like Trump being tested positive, so we're told, this will play a part, I can promise you. There's going to come a time where they're saying, well, because he had COVID, now this is affecting his thinking. Here's COVID linked to suicide attempt in man who had no history of mental illness. So they're going to claim that it's because the illness caused your brain to not work properly. And that will play a role in our future. And let's just end on this one here. As I said, guys, this is coming. Whether it's testing now while they set up the process, or it's going to be their your vaccine card from Operation Warp Speed. It's all already set up. It's just simply on you to acknowledge it, to wake up to the reality that's happening right in front of you, and, you know, try to wake up a few more people on the way. So much happening in front of us, guys. It's just outstanding to see this. And I hope that people are paying attention. So there's going to be more chaos today. That's given because they're creating it, in my opinion. The point for you out there today is just be safe. Take precautions needed. But don't watch the media. Don't get lost in the hype coming from mainstream, because that is what they want. They want you scared. They want you desperate. And they want you emotional. Don't let it happen. Be smart. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
For the last few years, I've had this sense that everything I learned as a kid about how America's government works is completely wrong. But I had no idea how bad things actually were until I saw this one graph. Researchers at Princeton University looked at more than 20 years worth of data to answer a pretty simple question: does the government represent the people? Now, this is what they found. This axis here represents public support for any given idea. On the left, at 0%, are ideas that not a single American wants. On the right, at 100%, are ideas that everyone supports. This axis represents the likelihood of Congress passing a law that reflects any of these ideas, from a 0 to a 100% chance. On this graph, an ideal republic would look like this. If 50% of the public supports an idea, there's a 50% chance of it becoming law. If 80% of us support something, there's an 80% chance. You get the idea. Now, most Americans would probably agree that, with a few exceptions, we should be as close to this ideal as possible. Unfortunately, the way America actually works doesn't even come close. Take an idea that nobody supports, literally nobody, and it has about a 30% chance of becoming federal law. Now, take an incredibly popular idea, the most popular idea this country has ever seen, and there's also about a 30% chance of it becoming law. This means that the number of American voters for or against any idea has no impact on the likelihood that Congress will make it law. Put another way, and I'm just going to quote the Princeton study directly here, the preferences of the average American appear to have only a minuscule, near zero, statistically non-significant impact upon public policy. So if you've ever felt like your opinion doesn't matter and that the government doesn't really care what you think, well, you're right. But there's a catch. This flat line only accounts for the bottom 90% of income earners in America. Economic elites, business interests, people who can afford lobbyists, they get their own line. Look at how much closer their line is to the ideal. When they want something, the government is much more likely to do it. And when they don't, they have the power to completely block it from happening, no matter how much the rest of the country supports it. They get what they want, and guess who ends up paying for it? We pay for it with the most expensive healthcare in the world. We pay for it with a tax code that's a complete mess. We pay for it with internet that's slower and more expensive, with wasteful spending, a floundering education system, a catastrophic drug war, and 1 in 5 American children born into poverty. Almost every major issue we face as a nation can be traced back to this graph. How does this happen? Well, just follow the money. Right now, it's perfectly legal to buy political influence in America. Here's how it works. Let's say a big bank wants a law that would force taxpayers to bail them out again if they repeat the exact same reckless behavior that crashed the global economy in 2008. Not exactly the most popular idea with the public, and Congress knows that. That should be the end of it. But that's where the money comes in. It's perfectly legal for our bank to hire a team of lobbyists, whose entire job is to make sure that the government gives the bank what it wants. Then, those lobbyists can track down members of Congress who regulate banks and help raise a ton of money for their re-election campaigns. It's perfectly legal for those lobbyists to offer those same politicians million-dollar jobs at their lobbying firm. Then, those lobbyists can literally write the language of this new bailout law themselves and hand it off to the politician they just buttered up with campaign money and lucrative job offers. And it's perfectly legal for those politicians to take the lobbyist-written language and sneak it through Congress at the last second. So now you've got a law that greatly benefits the banks, and the whole process can start over. This is how a bill becomes a law. A special interest hires some lobbyists, those lobbyists collect campaign contributions, offer jobs, and then write the laws that Congress then passes to help those same special interests. This happens every day on every single issue with politicians of both parties. In the last 5 years alone, the 200 most politically active companies in the United States spent $5.8 billion influencing your government. Those same companies got $4.4 trillion in taxpayer support. And that's trillion, with a T. And that's just the top 200 companies. Never mind every other special interest, every union, every trade association, and every billionaire.